not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keen,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
All right, we're here with Trevor McKnight from Smoke Inn in Vero Beach. He's got a full-time job, went out on his own to start his own business, decided that he wasn't going to keep working for somebody else or have somebody working for him instead of working for somebody else. And we're just going to learn a little bit about how he did it and some of the struggles that he's had along the way and triumphs.
Right on. Welcome.
Yep.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Now, before we get into the story here, Trevor, we have some rapid fire questions that we want to ask you. So you ready? Ready for the gorilla gauntlet?
Fire away.
All right, here we go. Married or single?
Married.
Any children?
Two.
City you live in?
PSL.
iPhone or Android?
Got to be iPhone.
Always?
Always.
Okay. Favorite movie?
Oh, you stumped me. All of a sudden, so quick. I haven't watched TV in about 7 years since I started.
Sounds like an entrepreneur.
Two different full-time jobs. So.
Yeah, it does. It
that was like a tough rapid-fire question because it goes, you know, either this or that, and then it's just...
And then it's like, hey,
global.
Yeah,
global.
We got to pause in that one.
Right,
so
yeah.
To go back to childhood, you know, we had VHS tapes when I was a kid.
Yeah, so did I.
And I had, I lived down the country, so we had able television, whatever we were able to get. And I
like that. Okay.
I think I watched Spies Like Us, Crocodile Dundee, Top Gun, and Heartbreak Ridge about 6,000 times each. So
I feel like you're in my neighbor.
It's got to be.
Those are all quality movies, though. Yeah. I will say those are all good ones to be able to have to watch.
All right. Favorite book? It could be audio.
Yeah, and I haven't read a book in probably 7 years either. Okay. So I don't know, I'm a John Grisham probably, author-wise. So
okay.
I can't go with book, but we'll go with author.
I can't argue with that. He's a good guy. Favorite type of food?
I love pizza.
Yeah, you can't go wrong, right? Okay, what do you drive?
I have a Honda Accord.
All right.
Oh, I wouldn't have seen that.
Beer, whiskey, or wine?
It's got to be beer.
Beer? Goes best with a cigar?
Well, yeah, to me, it's not a pairing thing. It's just, you know, what I prefer to drink. I'm not a true spirits guy. So
okay.
Beer is just so something easy, like water.
Craft beer or like just run-of-the-mill?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's just regular old domestic, you know, Yangling, something American.
Okay.
You know, great company owner, Dick Yangling. Guy wakes up at 4 a.m., gets into his Toyota Camry that he's had for the last 20 years and goes into the brewery and starts working away after he smoked a pack of whatever he smokes, cigarette-wise. And,
you got to love that, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the old Sam Walton.
Yeah.
All right. Two more questions. Favorite band or group?
That's a
genre of music.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm a hip-hop guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Me too.
Old school or new, though?
Yeah, it's definitely old school.
Okay. Larry used to be a rapper.
Yeah.
So he's our hip-hop guy.
He undid candy wrappers.
If you want me to,
Yeah, I was heartbroken when Tupac allegedly died, so.
He's still alive.
Yeah, he's out there.
Most influential person. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was iPhone or no?
No, it was reservation or walk. Just walk in and hope for the best.
I'm definitely a walk-in guy.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes, you know what? And that makes
sense.
That's
3-1 in this room. Walk-ins.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to keep
that's not
that
true.
Secret.
See, it's not that I'm against not making a reservation.
Oh, it's you?
But no, it's me. But when they want to get together, there's like 15 of us, and they want to walk up and hope for the best. It's a different story.
It is a little bit. Yeah, my wife works at a restaurant, and she absolutely despises when people come in and they complain. Yeah, but for me, I mean, you know.
So she would appreciate someone that would call ahead with a number that big.
Absolutely.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
But who are we interviewing?
It's a matter of who works in the industry. So anyway, that's neither here nor there.
All right. All right. So those are the 10 gorilla gauntlet, if you will, rapid fire questions that we have. And so, now we'll just start it off. So currently you are, you have a profession, right? And so, and you also have a business. So how did that come into play?
For me, as a child, there's nothing more than I ever wanted to do to be a road cop. And finally, when I got the opportunity to be a road cop, I absolutely couldn't see myself surviving as a road cop. I'm just not that, you know, I guess, I'm not that much of a people person.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you don't mind, then can we get into the cop?
Yeah. So I ended up working for the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I came down to Florida and I had 3 months of terminal leave, which is basically like your unused vacation. So I bought a little house before I moved down. I started doing all this work on the house and basically, you know, all my leave expired. So then I needed a job like, you know, yesterday. So the Florida Department of Corrections is always hiring, in case anybody wants to know.
Like okay. Avis.
Yeah, and they hired me within like 5 minutes. So I started working there, thankfully. Was there long enough to realize that that's not where I wanted to be. And during the time when I was going through state certification, I was able to get hired with the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office. I've been there for the last 17 years as a detention deputy, which is a correctional officer. And it's been great. So
you're working full time and you decide that you want to start your own thing. Is it just like you had a side hustle, like you wanted to do the side hustle, or you wanted to get out of?
Well, it's basic survival, basically, when it comes down to it. We went for a period of time through the recession where we hadn't had raises for probably 6 years.
Yeah.
And when you have a new home and you have at the time I had one son, and you gotta get through it. So it was something that I had to do in order to improve, just our lifestyle. And
I gotcha.
Pay the rent.
I gotcha. So, and for anybody listening, the Smoke Inn is a cigar shop in Vero Beach. So how did it start out that you wanted to get into cigars, or like, did you always love cigars?
Yeah. So there's something I was always drawn to cigars about, or that drew me, you know, and I don't know what it was, whether it was the packaging or just, you know, if the FDA is listening, this isn't the case. In the 80s, they used to have display cases where they'd put cigars inside of them. And as a kid, I was just drawn to whether it was the, you know, the packaging or just the look of the cigar itself.
I can understand that.
So in the Marine Corps, is more of a, you know, just a social thing. We'd get together and I don't even know what we were smoking. We were just, we had some cigars and it was
probably
it was,
garbage.
Yeah. More than likely. But it was a, you know, good social,
That's what it is for encounter. Me. Cause when I don't smoke that much, I maybe once a month I smoke a cigar, but it's more of a social get together with good friends and sit down. And I want to sit down for an hour and a half and smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
I don't want to smoke a cigar for 20 minutes and leave.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something that you sit back and relax and take time with. I mean, nobody needs a cigar, but you want a cigar.
Yeah.
I got into that game late. And so the reason why I got into cigars is because I actually took a trip to Cuba on a cruise, right? So it was like an overnight cruise. And I was like, if you're in Cuba, right? My philosophy is always, when in Rome, do what the Romans do, right?
Absolutely.
So I was in Cuba, so I figured, why not? So we went and we visited a few different shops and obviously had to buy some Cubans because that's what everybody says, right? So we bought some Cubans, brought them back, and now I'm like, okay, I see what this is all about. Because to Corey's point, it is a social aspect for me too, where if you are having a good cigar, the conversation is always phenomenal for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah. We have at the store, we have a good group of regulars that come in and everybody's, you know, from different walks of life. So a cigar is the great equalizer, basically, because we have everybody from, you know, security guard level, you know, gate guys to Fortune 500, you know, CEOs that come in and smoke cigars. And everybody can sit down and, you know, have a decent conversation.
Yeah, have a civil conversation.
Do you think it's because is there a time piece to it where it makes people slow down? I feel like, because I don't smoke cigars, but I have, and I enjoyed it when I did, but I feel like it almost slows people down to where they can enjoy the conversation because people are always such in a hurry.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I can see where it kind of, like you said, the great equalizer. I think that's kind of a good way to put it. I think it lets them have that conversation that they might not be willing to do if they weren't there.
So you had this passion for cigars, obviously. How did you start working at another shop? Or
yeah, so I started out initially in Smoke Inn. We have 10 locations. Of course, I only have one of the 10 in Florida, and then we have another location in North Carolina. But at the time when I started, which was 2009 now, I was working part-time. And it was more just a hobby, just very interested in everything and, you know, what makes a cigar, what it is, and the people behind it. The families, you know, what it took them to get to the point that, you know, they're at, and just the struggle for something so simple.
I got about the cigars, you mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, for the manufacturing of a product, the
production process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you have hundreds of you know, steps inside of making a cigar from, you know, seed to ash. That was kind of interesting to me. So I dove into that, and the part-time job basically kind of rolled into the shop that we've been running for the past 7 years. So
I gotcha.
Awesome.
So do you think it was easier for you to have that side hustle because it was a passion, or
yeah,
it was
definitely
something you wanted to learn?
Definitely has to be a passion. You know, entrepreneur is somebody who will work 80 hours for himself to avoid working 40 for somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great way. That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
It really takes,
it really does. You're right.
Yeah, it's out of all the things I've done, whether it's working at the sheriff's office, being in the, you know, the Marine Corps, definitely owning my own business is the most difficult, but yet the most rewarding.
So, so how did you get started? Right. So as Corey was saying, so it's a side hustle. You're working part time
for somebody else.
For somebody else, right? And so, how does one open up a shop, right? Because rent's not cheap, getting inventory is not cheap, nope. Getting an employee isn't cheap. There's a lot of, if you will, roadblocks. If you allow them to be roadblocks in the way. So how do you go from being a correction officer, working part time, to now being a correction officer and business owner? Or road cop?
It was basically perseverance. Anything that anybody wants to do, it's just what is the end result of what you want to do and reverse engineer that process. And you're going to figure it out. And everybody has their own variables. But, you know, for me, it was basically getting the money to get started because I knew in my mind it was something I could do because throughout the different locations that I was working part-time, I'd worked in a couple of different shops that was owned by Abe, who owns the majority of the Smoke Inns and the name Smoke Inn. But each one was slightly different, but they all worked in the same manner. So I knew that it was something that I truly enjoyed, that I could put a lot of time into, and that it would ultimately be rewarding to me, whether it's financially or just.
So speaking of financially and startup, mm-hmm. How did you go through that process? So you have your career job here, and then you have this process of starting up and getting going. How did that?
Well, so the creation, we had a business plan. I say we, and I'm always talking about my wife. That's my we. So
I understand that.
But we had a business plan, and then you know, everybody thinks you just take that to the bank and they cut you a check and you get rolling.
Yeah.
But the right. The business plan was not, even though it was thorough, was not enough. You got to have some, you know, skin in the game. You got to have your own money,
some equity.
Absolutely. And sweat equity, they don't care about that. They want to know hard numbers. And it depends on your industry that you're trying to get into as well. You know, like a tobacco is, you know, a very unpopular industry, even though cigars aren't, you know, significantly different than cigarettes or something mm-hmm. else. It's still very unpopular, and traditional funding isn't going to get you there. So, you know, I came up with this business plan that I shopped around all the banks, ran into brick walls everywhere, and was lucky enough to find somebody that would actually, you know, give me a personal loan to finance everything. So
was this a an individual or a?
It was an individual in the industry. So in the manufacturing side of the industry.
But that's important, right? Because at least for what we're trying to demonstrate, you ran into a ton of roadblocks.
Absolutely.
But you're like, no, I'm going to do this because this means a lot to me and I need to make this happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, I almost gave up at one point. The guy, Abe, that I was working part-time for, he said, you know, let me see what you got. So I took him the plan that I'd, you know, developed, and he looked at it and kept it. And he's the one that actually, you know, kind of put some feelers out and ended up getting the final result, which was the money.
Right on. Yeah. And that's, I feel like that's really important because the things that I was reading is like, I feel like people give up, right? You know, let's pretend we're running a race and we're running a mile. People give up in the last 400 meters.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with that because I was there. I was just ready to say, you know, heck with it. We'll just try something else. And
so how many no's do you think you got on that money?
At this point, I don't recall, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long were you doing that for? Like,
oh, it had to be 6 to 8 months.
Of just constantly every day, or, you know, on a constant basis, just getting a no.
Yeah, that's going from from traditional, you know, local banks to just individuals that I knew that, you know, had an interest in cigars that may, you know, have been the opportunity for me to get started.
I gotcha.
There's a mindset there to get through the each no, because I would think each time, like you even said, you almost got to a point of giving up. And I feel like that's something I would like to hear your thought process through. But how do you get through all those no's and keep going each time, especially after 3 months in, 4 months in, 5 months in, 6 months in, however long that was?
Yeah, it's just the, like I said, you know, initially perseverance.
Yeah.
So if you have something that you want so bad, you're going to do anything to get to that point. And regardless of what people, you know, you really have to put people's opinions aside. If you have something or a concept that you think is successful or that will work, you know, some of the craziest ideas that ever came about were, you know, something that somebody thought that is just absolutely ridiculous. Let's look at Tesla, for example. You know, Nikola Tesla. That guy was nuts, right?
Yeah, he was out there.
Yeah.
He definitely was.
However,
out there.
Yeah. Possibly the smartest guy ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he was definitely out
not
there.
That I'm on that same level at all. I'm just saying, for an example, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you just gotta work through. And
okay.
So what's it look like on a daily basis for you now though? And now do you still have the loan with that?
No, everything's been paid for. So we've been free and clear for about almost 2 years now.
Wow, that's exciting.
Congratulations. Long, that's awesome.
How long have you been open now?
7. So it was a 60-month loan period.
Okay.
Yeah, so when you do traditional financing, you can take, you know, 60 months. You can take it, you know, 10 years. You can do it up to 15.
So on that first 60 months, was that a big struggle or a burden knowing that you had that
kind of
that big loan on your back?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of sleepless nights. I mean, you have slow business days and you're thinking, what did I get myself into? But then once again, you just got to persevere and look forward. And
now, did you ever have to come out of pocket more yourself, or you had enough to cover that whole 60 months?
Yeah, it was always covered. Okay. You know, there's certain things that you kind of let slide a little bit to balance everything out, but nothing that anybody else notices. It's just stuff that you know.
So. I gotcha.
Now, this business plan that you created, how long did that take you to develop your business plan?
Well, that was quite a while. So I probably worked on that for about 6 months, just on and off, just reading different things and
so
kind of getting suggestions from other people.
Okay. So mainly you, as far as the business plan is concerned, how did you do your research, right? So we're talking about 6 years ago, 8 years ago. Internet looks very different 6 years ago than it does today, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's groups out, one group example, SCORE, which is a Corps of Retired Executives. It's a local resource for most people. So you can reference a lot of stuff on their website. So I think it's SCORE, SCORE.org. They have a lot of references that you can get to and, you know, kind of get the basis for what you need. And then you just kind of tailor it to what, you know, your industry or what your idea is.
Huh. Okay. That's good to know. I think that's really good information. So, All right. So now, like Corey's saying, right now, your daily routine, you get your business loan and you have a full-time job. In that business plan, did you have the employee already built into that business plan?
Yeah, so there's going to be, I mean, we're open 67 hours a week. So with my full-time job, we're on 12-hour shifts, 86.67 hours 2 weeks. So, you know, or every 2 weeks, and then you have to cover it with somebody else. So there's always got to be a, you know, a part-time or another full-time guy. So that was built in.
So has that been a problem for you, your employment at the shop?
No, luckily, I mean, I have that guy, and then I have a backup guy if there's, you know, something happens with him. So
was he a friend or was he just somebody that came in
Yeah, he was a customer initially. So the first guy that helped me was a retired gentleman. He worked in the bank industry. But he was older, so the hours were just a little too much because it's, you know, we're a retail environment.
Yeah.
So if anybody's ever worked retail, you know, the hours can be long and somewhat boring at times.
Yeah, it can be brutal.
Yep. So he was ready to kind of step away after about 4 or 5 months, but we had this guy that just kept coming in and kept coming in. And, I mean, he had a retail background, and finally I just said, oh, here's your opportunity. And luckily he ran with it. So it may have worked out a little differently if it wasn't for him, but it didn't. So
he was already there, so you might as well pay him to be there, right?
Right, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, and that's important because, like, trust, right? How do you build that trust with people to run your business? Because money's money, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's although it's not my name, it's still, you know, it's my business. You know, there's certain things that you can set up to kind of mitigate you not being there. But you definitely have to just trust people, and you can just kind of let go and set back and watch the show, and try to, you know, redirect when things happen that you didn't want to happen.
So speaking of watch the show, I was curious, like, what's one of, like, maybe the craziest conversations that you can speak to, or things that's happened in your shop? Just whether it's a conversation like, wow, I don't know, just like a good story that you remember from some of your clients. I'm sure there's a ton, but
yeah, there's so many things. I don't even know who's listening to this.
We don't think of names. You don't think of names, or maybe just something that's a reoccurrence that you really appreciate that happens in your shop.
And we have the explicit. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, some of the gentlemen that come in are older. So, you know, you have problems that older guys have, nothing really off the wall. Okay. You know, of course I've caught people, you know, taking stuff, stealing stuff, and,
okay,
you know, when you approach them for that, you know, I've never wanted to.
Do you record that?
Yeah, it's so we have video.
Do you put it on YouTube?
No.
Have you watched Gas Station Encounters on YouTube?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's all they do. It's one gas station. They record people shoplifting and they confront them. I'm sure they make more money on YouTube than they do in their gas station.
Yeah, it's probably a really phenomenal. Good idea.
It is.
You could
great.
Get some sign-offs, maybe get the conversations that happen. You can start putting them on YouTube. Yes. Probably pretty cool. People would listen.
We've actually talked about doing a cigar sessions.
Yes.
Podcast.
Yeah. The expression on the face of a thief being caught is classic. I mean, I love it. And I'm not.
do they ever try to buy something as they're stealing something?
Sure. There's plenty of times where, you know, I don't know if it's an entitlement or I'm not quite sure what the psychology behind a thief is, you know, especially in a, you know, environment that I'm in, where they'll come in and they'll buy something, but they'll, you know, they'll buy a $5 cigar, but they'll steal a $10 cigar.
Yeah. So me and Corey talked about this.
That happens a lot on this Gas Station Encounters on YouTube that I've watched. But then the dude, like, he pays for it, like, with a 20, and he keeps the whole 20, and he's like, it's three times whatever you stole.
Right.
You got to call the cops? All right, call the cops. I'll have you arrested. And it's like he's got him by the balls. Like, I'm like, this is like phenomenal.
Extortion.
Like,
exactly.
I was like, oh my gosh, like this is great. But honestly, I mean, I know in the state of Florida anyways, I mean, there's restitution for theft and stuff like that anyways. You know, if you steal from Walmart, they can bill you $250 if you stole a $5, you know, pack of stickers.
Right.
They can still bill you $250 based on what they had to go through to catch you and whatnot. So I don't think, you know, he's probably doing, I know he's out of state, that channel on YouTube, shout out to them. I just find it pretty phenomenal, you know, the way they've done it and you talking about it. Yeah. I'm sure that the look on their face when you're like, you know, and as most thieves I assume do, you know, they give you the, what? I didn't steal nothing.
Of course.
You know, there's no way you could have seen me. I mean, it's 2019. The cameras I have at my house can catch somebody stealing. I'm sure the ones you have in a store or Walmart or, you know, if anybody wants to spend money on cameras, like, they can see, you know, what year the quarter is that you're paying with.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
you get a good camera for like $20.
Yeah.
Yeah. And me and Corey talked about this earlier, actually. We were talking about how people think that because I buy a $5 cigar from you, that you're making hand over fist on that cigar, right? And so people then think, like, they don't think about, hey, you have to pay a loan, you have to pay an employee, you have to pay for space. You have to
rent,
pay for inventory.
Electricity.
There's a lot that goes into owning a business that people don't realize or don't care about, I guess.
No. Yeah, absolutely. And people don't really think about it. What everything, you know, the operations entail. But it is a little complex with the cost of that. So, I mean, from insurance to, you know, just a lease itself, a commercial lease, like mine, for an example, was, you know, like 47 pages of just legalese that, you know, you hire an attorney for and they run through it and charge you $1,500 and say, you know, I'm not really sure what this means, but this is your, you know, you're an attorney, right?
Yeah. It's up for interpretation if it goes to court.
I mean, it's something so simple yet complex.
Do you, have you any partnerships with the community? Do anything out there in that realm?
Yeah, so we are one of two drop-off locations in Indian River County for the Treasure Coast Food Bank. So we've been doing that for about 6 years now.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
We collect a pretty fair amount, customer donations, and then people just, call randomly and say, "You accept food?" Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So how does that work?
Yeah, so Treasure Coast, they're located off of Indrio and Fort Pierce, and they, service the entire Treasure Coast. People can just, random food donations. They have a list of, I think, the top 15 items that they need, which I can't remember off the top of my head. Okay. But people just bring it in. I'll contact them after we get a good amount, and they'll come and pick it up.
That's awesome.
That is cool. And I know. Awesome. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
Before we had kind of started hitting record, you had mentioned some other things. You do some fundraisers and you do some things of that nature. You want to go into that a little bit? Because I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. We, last 5 years, we've had a charity golf tournament benefiting Hibiscus Children's Center. So we've raised probably, like I said, gross over a little over 100,000, right around there. But Hibiscus is a, location across the Treasure Coast, and there's one location in Broward County that handles abused, neglected, and abandoned kids from 13 to 17. So it's a pretty, probably one of the things I'm most proud of as far as rewarding wise of running a business is to be able to say that something that I built has collected a little over 100,000 for a charity that's just totally staff intensive. And
That's impressive.
And I think, because not every, you don't have to do that. Like a business doesn't have to do that. So to do that and take the time and the energy to put into that for a fundraiser, I think commends you as who you are. So I can appreciate that. I want to say thank you because I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I absolutely despise golf. So it's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, I hate it.
You don't like it at all.
I hate it.
I like it.
You
I
smoke
don't
cigars
like,
though while.
Right. Yeah. There's, yeah, I mean, there's beer there's, and there's cigars. So what
so
the
that
heck?
Helps. Yeah. I like it. It's just 4 hours. And I'm not very good, so sometimes it's 5 hours, right?
Oh, yeah. I like it, but I'm done by like the sixth hole.
Like I like a good 9 holes. Yeah, I go 9 holes. 18, yeah. I used to be, but not anymore now.
Time but I will hang out the whole time in the golf cart.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Nothing better than ripping around a course. It costs $40,000 to join and probably $12,000 a year to keep your membership. And been their course on the golf cart. Appreciate
it. Not that he's going to do that, whoever's hosting the next one.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. So, all right, so... since you own a cigar shop, what seems to be like a big seller? What's like the one that you always see? Like, all right, well, if I'm like, let's pretend I'm brand new, I want to get into cigars. What is a good cigar for me to get started with?
So the best cigar is the one that you prefer to smoke. So there's all kinds of variables.
Okay.
So I'd ask you a couple questions. Number one, I always like to, not that you're pairing the cigar with coffee, but it just gives me an idea, kind of taste profile. So I ask you if you're a coffee drinker.
Yes.
All right. So what type of coffee do you prefer?
Dark.
Black. So gross.
Dark, yes. Dark and rich. Okay, so we can kind of turn it up a little bit. So there's three specific growing regions that the majority of our cigars are made in. So you have Dominican, Honduras, and Nicaragua.
Okay.
Nicaraguan tobacco is traditionally pretty rich and strong. Dominican's a little, laid back, and Honduras is kind of a good mixture of the two. So I'd kind of steer you a little bit towards something kind of medium to full.
Okay.
And brand-wise, is it the first cigar you smoked or have you smoked something in the past?
I've smoked some in the past.
Okay. So what brand-wise?
I had a Monte Cristo number 2.
Okay. So Monte Cristo number 2 is fairly medium. If you get a classic, because there's several different Montes, you have a white label, you have a classic, and then you have a platinum. So you remember which one?
I don't. It was black. Like the label was black.
So it may have been the Nicaragua. So, yeah, kind of medium-bodied.
I've also had the number 4, and I do like the number 4 better.
Okay.
And it's not as thick.
Yeah, so we got to narrow it down to, a brand of cigar or just, a type of wrapper. So there's Connecticut Broadleaf, there's Connecticut Shade, you have Sun Grown, there's, Habano, which could be Cuban Seed. And then, how much time do you have?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Okay.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
And so can you elaborate on that for folks that don't smoke cigars?
Yeah, so, you could smoke a cigar for 15 minutes or you can smoke it for 2 hours. So what do you want to make it? You want to be total, just relax and, zone out, or do you want to just, have something quick to kind of take a 15-minute break? Like a dog walker, basically,
A dog walker would be a 15-minute break.
I think that'd be a good name for a cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dog walker.
They actually refer to, little short squat cigars as dog walkers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm a newbie. I don't know.
Somehow. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Now, for somebody like me, who I do like to smoke cigars, but as I stated, I want to sit down for an hour and a half or 2 hours to smoke a cigar. I think my problem is I have a preference on the cigar I like, so I always gravitate towards that cigar.
So you won't branch out? You don't like to branch out on the
not if wherever I'm at has the cigar that I smoke. Right. I always go to that cigar.
Yeah, we have a handful of customers that they'll probably have five different, you know, six, you know, cigars. I a lot of people refer to it as, you know, if you're stuck on a desert island, what five cigars would you take with you?
I gotcha.
It can't be just one. There's not just one. It's not the Highlander. There's going to be a handful. Yeah.
Poor guy on that desert island.
Yeah. But he's going to have some cigars. Yeah.
Right.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. He might not live long, but he's going to be relaxed and enjoy himself.
Yeah.
I like it.
He'll have conversations himself.
I could definitely pick five that I would take with me. So for you, what is your...
Drew Estates Natural English.
Okay. So yeah, it's in the infused. It's not necessarily a flavor. Because it's not a cherry or vanilla.
Yeah, I don't want the flavor, but yeah. I do like the sweet.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they make one called Dirt. Have you ever smoked the Dirt?
I have smoked the Dirt, yeah.
So it's kind of like if you could smoke a Frappuccino from Starbucks, that's kind of the closest.
What?
I'm a sugar addict, so that's pretty much.
What if I can smoke a Cafe Americano? Which cigar is that? No, I'm just kidding.
Just kidding. So there's, I mean, from the acid line to the, you know, I consider them to be dessert cigars.
You think the acid is in that same category then?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's slightly different.
Because I have a friend that just started smoking acids, or he said that he likes the acid. And I thought I had had one, but here's the thing too. And I've had Cubans from Cuba that I absolutely hated. I've had the Monte Cristo number 2 and I thought it was awful. But I think it might've been sitting in somebody's sock drawer for two years before I got it. Now, the one Larry gave me, I really liked.
Okay, like, yeah, because I was going to say, like that one.
I thought it was a really good cigar, but I'm pretty sure it was the same cigar that I had before, you know? So do you find that how they're taken care of makes a big difference?
Yeah, absolutely. Cuban cigars have two types of tobacco. So you have Corojo and Criollo. That's all they have. And everything that's a Cuban, true Cuban cigar would be either Corojo or Criollo. So it's just a different blend.
I gotcha. Mm. And see, the acid that I've had before, I'm sure came out of like a liquor store or a gas station one night when I was out and about. And I was like, God, this is awful. But again, it might have been sitting out, in a humidor for 2 years. I don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, if you get something that's all crunchy, it's going to burn.
Yes.
Different flavor is going to be slightly off. It's just not going to be what it's supposed to be, what it was made to be.
I got you.
So I feel like this could go down a rabbit hole of endless possibilities. It's awesome. Yeah. I like hearing it. But I want to bring it back to kind of what, if I were to walk into your shop, is just some, or the Smoke Inn as all your shops, depending on what would I see? Would it be like an indoor area to smoke? Would it be an outdoor area? Do you have an air conditioning? Do you have TVs? Do you have a place? Do you have it lounged out? I'm just curious of what I might visually see when I walked in.
Yeah, so my store is kind of traditional what they were when everything started in 96. You walk in, you have a lounge or a seating area. You have your sales counter. We have a bar, although we don't serve, you know, beer, wine, or liquor. It's just basically a guy, you know, place for guys to sit. Then following that, you kind of move into, on the one side, you have a merchandise area where you have cutters and accessories and humidors and stuff like that. Then you go into the humidor, and our humidors are traditionally ginormous compared to other places.
It is a huge humidor.
Yeah, we have about 500 square feet. I think the majority of the stores are pretty close to that. Okay. And we just try to, you know, pack as much inventory as we can into that space.
So if I'm a patron at Smoke Inn, could I bring in my own beer or no?
We do have guys that bring their own beer, yep.
Okay.
You know, for the Boynton Beach, Delray, and West Palm Beach locations, they are full liquor bars, so that would not be allowed.
Okay.
But I believe all of us, except for the three of those, give away beer and sometimes liquor during events.
Okay.
So do you have any aspirations to open another store, or are you content with where you're at, or are you planning on selling, or do you want to have this for a retirement job?
I think I'm going to do this until I die. Probably have to carry me feet first out, but
I think that's a, That's a sign of true passion, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless my wife, you know, cuts me off, which it makes money now, so she kind of likes it.
Okay, yeah.
You finally, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean,
turn
cigars,
that corner.
Yeah, for people that don't smoke cigars, if you know, you've been in a cigar shop all day, you're going to reek.
Oh, yeah, my wife loves it.
Yeah, my wife hates it as well. So having said that, does she hate the, obviously, or is she a smoker or not?
She's not a smoker. And initially, when it was a hobby, she was, didn't appreciate it at all, but she can definitely tolerate it now. So,
okay, yeah.
And money is also a great equalizer.
So we have money and cigars, two great equalizers.
For me, though, when you go into a shop like yours and you have the lounge there, and you have TVs on the wall too, or just one?
Yeah, we have three TVs.
You have three
for
TVs.
Customers. Yeah,
there's just something so like old school and like calming about it. Like it's very like peaceful to me. I don't know, there's something about going in that I'm just like, man, I could just hang out here for a while.
You can just disconnect.
And yeah, and I'm not like that, because I am the type of guy that my mind runs 100 miles an hour everywhere I go, except if I'm offshore fishing and I'm in a cigar shop. That's like my two outs, I feel like, is if I'm smoking a cigar or if I'm offshore fishing, I can't be reached on my phone or something like that.
And I think, like, I feel like, in this setting, like, when we talk, we have a chance to have someone that we don't notice to talk, it lets you slow down and have that same thing where I feel like my mind races a lot. But in this moment, I'm just thinking about what we're talking about. So
in the moment.
Yeah. And I think that kind of, I like that. And I can see the connection of what you're saying.
Yeah. I think I definitely, you know, you go in there, you can detach and you can smoke a cigar with, you know, some friends, have a good conversation, maybe watch some football on the TV. It's just, there's something completely peaceful, relaxing about that to me.
Yeah, right. And honestly, I feel like that's just cigars in general, right? Yes. So
yeah,
so definitely agree. Visiting the smoke in.
Yeah, we like to end asking a question to our interviewer that we have here, and really, is there an act, something that you have lived by that you could share with our listeners, that free of charge or minimal fee, if you will, that of investment that could help them better who they are, what they're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, no one specific or no rep, you know, like website or resource specific. Just, you know, basic. Don't sweat what other people have to say too much. If you have a vision in your mind, you know, stay with that vision and keep moving. Only you can determine what, you know, your business needs to be, or what you want to do with that business, or what you want to do in general. And, you know, difficulty comes and it will. Just keep moving forward.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I can too. So I have one more question. So obviously your wife, she was on board the whole time?
No, absolutely not.
Because I feel like that's really important, right? Yeah. Because naysayers, that could also come in-house.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, you have to have a moment of clarity, or, you know, a breakthrough where you realize that this is something that I'm going to do. It's going to be successful. I need your support. And, you know, if you have a good spouse or a good partner, they're going to come to realize that you're going to make it work, and it's going to be something
especially,
you do together.
Especially they see the passion that you have for it. I think that adds a lot to
it. How long did it take her to get on board with you?
About the time when the guy cut the check. Just floored. Like, this guy, who does this?
I
said this guy.
And I think that's part of this whole show is like, who does this? Why do, you know, we get stuck in these ruts and people feel like they can't do that. They can't be the guy that networks so well and just won't accept no for an answer and goes out and gets the check from somebody to start their own thing. But we pass by those people on a regular basis, and you're one of those people. And that's, you know, we're thankful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Is there, where can we find you, or on, whether it's on social media or?
Yeah. So we have, you know, me, I'm very much undercover on social media.
Okay.
Social media for me is like pictures of my family, memorable moments. You know, people get so carried away with social media today. Just
absolutely.
I kind of tune out personally, business wise. Sure. You can catch us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We have a YouTube page.
Is it Smoke In Vero or just Smoke In?
So Smoke In Vero, or Smoke In Cigars, Vero Beach.
Okay.
Can you give us the address to your location as well?
Yeah, so we're located in Vero Beach on the Miracle Mile, so 514 21st Street, kind of catty-corner to the Fresh Market.
I'm sorry, I think I cut you off. So you said Smoke In Vero for Instagram, and is that the same for all of your other social media?
Yeah, so Facebook, Smoke In Cigars, Vero Beach. Twitter, it's Smoke In Vero. Instagram, Smoke In Vero. YouTube, I believe we're just Smoke In Vero.
All right, well, my humidor is looking low, so... I'll be seeing you soon.
Head on down. Make sure you guys check them out for sure.
We appreciate it.
Again, this is Corey. If you guys got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can find us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com. Make sure you hit us up.
And if you want to follow us on social media and see what's going on with us, on Instagram and Facebook, we have @FullGorillaLife, and on Twitter, @GorillaFull, like beautiful, but with a gorilla.
This is Larry signing off. Please hit the subscribe button on your app of choice. And that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen.
Next time.
Have a great night.
Later.
Peace.
Okay.